Hey, this is Prime Switch. I'm responding to Petal Baby's fifth questionnaire. I've never done one of her questionnaires before. I mean, they always look really good. You always have such interesting questions, but I've never gotten a chance to do one ever since I became active on GWA. So I'm really excited for this opportunity to do your fifth questionnaire. Let's see. What is your love language? I think it really depends on the person. Different people respond to different things, and because of that, the way I interact with them tends to change as well. But I think my biggest ones that kind of showcase my talents are probably acts of service and gifts, and not so much physical touch. I mean, you know, yeah, of course, physical touch is like a big part of interactions I have with my partners, but I like to cook a lot. I'm a really enthusiastic cook, and I like making new things and things that people like, especially. So acts of service, like providing a really nice homemade dinner with steak or homemade pasta or like just a perfectly done piece of pork tenderloin. Those are some of the things I like to provide to the people I care about and to showcase love. Because love is food and food is love. And I think most humans tend to respond to that. I did go on a date with a vegan who was also gluten intolerant, and they were unable to have any type of sugars. Like, they were highly allergic to almost everything, including, like, most processed sugars. And the only thing they could have as a sweetener was, like, blue agave sauce. So I ended up making sushi, which I'm really good at. I have this, like, the art of making sushi down to a science and a skill. And I was able to make like some very few modifications to make the perfect vegetarian vegan sushi that they could enjoy. So that was pretty fun. And I have a lot of friends who have celiacs. So I'll make them fried chicken, but gluten-free fried chicken with potato starch, kind of in that Korean fried chicken style. And that really seems to make a lot of them happy. How and when did you discover your favorite kink? If you're not kinky, how did you find GWI? I am extremely kinky. I've been heavily involved in my city's like public kink scene for a while. A lot of like sex positive stuff, a lot of parties, a lot of events, and a lot of like community work. There's such a vibrant community involved in it. And like everything from rope to leather to, I mean, you name it, it's vast and amazing to be a part of. I don't know if I have a favorite kink. Like, there's a lot of stuff I like to dive in with, especially when it comes to like sadism and dominant submission. When it comes to like one-on-one personal interactions, age play is probably really up there. I think it's really hot. When it comes to actual activities, I really like to top with electricity. I like to top with whips and impact play. I'm a big fan of punching and spanking and hitting. And I'm also a big fan of bottoming to those too. Those are really fun to bottom with. I'm a switch. I'm bi, so there's a lot of people I could play with. And I'm also polyamorous, so it's not really an issue when I want to do something new and do something with someone who's really skilled in that field. I got to be suspended once, which was really cool, but I kind of have a really large muscular body type, so it's basically I need to do a little bit more yoga, I need to stretch more, and I think I'll enjoy being suspended more. What do you wear to bed? It depends. If I'm on a date, with one of my partners, usually I'll wear underwear, and just underwear because it's, you know, it's comfy, but also nice, you know. I don't know why. When I sleep alone, I tend to just sleep completely naked, and I feel more comfortable sleeping naked when I'm alone. But when I'm with a partner, when I'm with a partner, I'll put on at least a pair of me undies, made of modal, 3 times softer than cotton. And I think that's because when I'm alone, I like to kind of use that opportunity to treat myself, you know, have like a Hitachi on the side of the bed and, you know, kind of have some solo fun before I go to bed. But when I'm with a partner, after we played, if we play, then usually it's just, all right, you know, bedtime, snuggles, there's no reason to be naked, but I don't really know. I put on these, I don't know. Where are you answering this questionnaire? I'm in my closet. My bedroom has a walk-in closet, and it kind of has a good environment where I could talk without having a lot of echo. It's isolated, it's dark, and there's a bunch of clothes surrounding me to help muffle the noise on the outside. My roommate's in the other room. I have no idea how well she could hear me. Oh, well. What's your favorite kind of soup? If you asked me this when I was a kid, I would have said something creamy, like cream of chicken, clam chowder, one of those like really thick soups, because I grew up on the East Coast where it's really cold, and kind of along there, you know, big, thick, hearty soups were the way to go. But like as I've grown older and my taste buds have changed, I am more of a fan of like hearty, rich, but also not disgustingly dairy thick soups. Like, I think pho is like the perfect example. Like the broth that you get with pho, you know, it's like a pretty thin broth, but it's, you know, really bolstered with all that, you know, fat and just basically, yeah, fat. I like to make stock after I cook a chicken, and, you know, I have all these bones and all the stuff left over, and I'll stick it in a crock pot for a few days and make myself like chicken soup that'll last me for a while. I'm a big fan of that. How do you pronounce the word? Caramel. Caramel. Let's go get some caramels. Caramels. I say caramel. Data. Root. Like Root 66. Pecan pie. And I think this changes depending on where in the sentence it lies and where the accents go, and where your inflection takes it. Like if it's at the end of a sentence, it might be more natural for me to say aunt. No, I say aunt every time. I never say aunt. Envelope, envelope, depends if it's a noun or a verb. Envelope. Pajamas. PJs. Pajamas? Fuck, I don't... Pajamas. Crayon, that doesn't change. How else can you say that? Crayon? There's no other way to say that, is there? I don't know. Would you have sex with an identical twin version of yourself? Yes, absolutely, 100% yes. Okay, yeah, let's break this down because there's a lot of different barriers that we have to talk about here. Let's see, an identical twin version of myself. So we're not talking about a clone. We're talking about an identical twin who you probably grew up with, which, you know, makes it weirder. It does. It makes it a little bit more weird. You have to get over, like, first, you know, the incest of it all. But, like, if my identical twin is very similar to me in personality and drive, then I think we would both be game and it would be less weird. I think we just want to bang each other. Plus, you know, like, so yeah, we're talking about a twin and we're not talking about a clone. If it was a clone, then, you know, it would basically be advanced masturbation. But in this case, we're talking about twins. Yeah, you know, I would probably feel a little weird about it. And you know what? I'll probably push right through it. And it would be an exciting opportunity for both of us. Say your partner or potential significant other is well-versed in a certain subject and you find that knowledge to be extremely sexy. What would that subject be? Yeah, I live in like a really tech-heavy area with a lot of brilliant engineers and really smart people who are smart in a certain subject and are just not smart everywhere else. And, you know, if they lack that form of common sense, it's incredibly unattractive to me. Let's see. If you asked me this about like 5 years ago, anyone who was significantly knowledgeable in the form of kink, I probably would have been head over heels towards, just because when I was new to the community, there were so many knowledgeable people that I wanted to spend time with and learn about rope and DS and hypnosis and everything. But honestly, you know, so like being a part of that community, so many of those people have, there are just so many people who are knowledgeable and you can't be attracted to all of them. And at some point you become like aware that everyone has their flaws at the same time. So I'm probably less inclined to fall in love with someone now because they are knowledgeable in a certain subject of kink. I do find that, certain levels of psychology, people who know how to interact with other people and work with big groups of people, people who are socially dynamic, that tends to attract me. People who know how to say the right thing at the right time and are not impulse driven on everything and are calculated in the way that they interact with other people so that they could diffuse situations. I really appreciate those people far more. I don't know. If like a very particular subject. Oh, fuck, cooking. If someone could cook something that I don't really know how to cook well, and, you know, they could like teach me how to cook it, you know, and I could get better, and we, you know, they could help me grow from that standpoint, then yeah, fuck yeah, I would totally be into that. Dating, oh, this question. Dating-wise, how old is too old for you? How young is too young? I'm going to take some water. Leave it to Pedal Baby to ask this question. Okay, how old is too old for you? Honestly, there's probably not an age that's too old for me right now. I'm in my early. I'm 31. And I've gone on dates with people my age and a little bit older. I've never really had the opportunity to date someone who was significantly older, like, you know, in the late 40s or early 50s. But I also wouldn't turn down that situation. I did make out with a woman in her late 40s at a party once, and that was not bad. That was a lot of fun. I think a lot of it depends on the situation and the level of attractiveness that I have towards them as a person. I don't know. I probably wouldn't date a retiree. How young is too young? You know, if you asked me this like 3 years ago or even like 2.5 years ago, I would have said like, well, I'll never date anyone in their early 20s, you know, like, because I had this mindset back then that people who were still in their early 20s, you know, a lot of their personality hasn't really settled yet. And they're still, you know, trying to discover themselves, trying to get past the insecurities of growing up. Like, they're still, like, early 20s are still very formative years. And you know what? Like, to some extent, I still very much believe that. It's true in a lot of instances. But when I was 29, I started dating someone who was 18. So, and honestly, that sounds worse than it actually is. This person is a wonderful, wonderful person. We've been dating for the past 2 years. And they have a really mature outlook and a really good head screwed on their shoulders. And like when we started dating, I would kind of go to my other partners and be like, hey, I need you to keep me in check. Like, you know, am I crazy here? Like, am I making a bad decision? And they're like, well, you know, like, they do seem like a really good person to be with you, you know, and you two really feed off of each other really well. And like 11 years is a big difference, but it's not that big of a difference. And honestly, I did feel somewhat validated when, after we've been dating for a while, they start going on other dates with other people because polyamory. And I quickly became not the oldest partner they've been with. They've been dating some significantly older people now. And you know what? Like, they get along really well with them, and it's perfect. And, you know, they're a really good person. And that kind of helped validate the whole, like, well, you know, don't judge people based on age alone. But when it comes to how young is too young, like, let's keep it over 18. Has anyone ever told you sound like someone else, a celebrity, a cartoon character, or anyone else? No. I mean, maybe when I do, like, impersonations, that will come out a bit. But I don't have many of those. I could do a really good Ferengi impersonation, but I'm not going to do that now. And people have told me I look like a version of Mr. Incredible. But I think that's mostly because of shoulder structure and jawline. I don't have much going for me, but wide shoulders, I definitely do. How old do you think your listeners think you are? Probably early 20s, late 20s, yeah, to early 30s. I don't think people assume I'm deep into middle age or a teenager, especially with the content I talk about. Are you a picky eater? What will you absolutely not eat? You know, I used to be a really picky eater, and I think I've gotten much better, and much better for that now, because I started cooking on my own and started realizing that, you know, shallots and onions are really important aromatics to add to a dish. Mushrooms can be really good to increase the smokiness of a dish and are a great alternative for vegetarians. I think I've definitely gotten over myself when it comes to certain foods. I think the only foods I'll try everything, but I think the foods that I would avoid eating if they're piled onto my plate are things that are kind of weird and unnatural to me in terms of texture. And that is like a small family, but, you know, asparagus is definitely one of them. I just think that the outside, no matter how you cook it, the outside is always just kind of weird and plasticky to me. A little bit too tough for the amount of benefit you get for eating it. Like, it's really bitter to my taste. Mushrooms are okay for the most part, but, you know, like, you know, texture, depending on how they're cooked, if they're just super mushy and the flavor doesn't make up for the fact that they're super mushy, then I probably won't eat them. Is there a certain country, culture, or time period you're fixated on? I would like to learn more about. I spent some time in Croatia, and I never thought I would enjoy Croatia, but, like, my mind was blown away when I was visiting there. I must have been about 22, yeah, when I was in Croatia. And the people there were beautiful. I think there's something about, like, Eastern European people that I just kind of, like, you know, lose my breath over. And the accents really get to me. And, like, Croatia is kind of like, well, you can't really call that Eastern Europe, but in a way you can. Like, yeah, it definitely has that influence. You know, it has the influence there from the Eastern European side. And the food, because it's along that Dalmatia coast, like, it shares a lot of food with Italy. So you get your good kind of homemade pasta. You get the, you know, nice wine, and I really enjoyed spending time in Croatia. I would love to go back. It was really cool. Can you comfortably go the rest of your life without falling in love? No. I know that there are plenty of monogamous people who are okay with that. They're okay with the fact that they fell super hard in love, and then they have something so secure and wonderful to them that they're willing to keep that for as long as it goes. And you know what? Like, that's fine. That's really cool for them. I don't think it's fair to call it a drug, because even though it has, like, drug-like effects of, you know, you have all these endorphins rushing in your head when you're with someone and you meet someone new and you spend a lot of time with that person, but sometimes it's really nice. And, you know, like, I see that with other partners who, you know, I am dating at the time and who meet someone else and they fall in love with those other people and they want to date those other people. And feeling that feeling of, you know, mutual satisfaction that the other person is feeling. They call compersion in the polyamory circles. It's a made-up word, compersion. But basically, it's compersion means that you feel good that someone else is feeling really good in terms of a romantic sense. And honestly, it makes me happy. There's something so stimulating about a person focusing on you so much and you being able to focus so much of yourself onto another person and making them... Like, I think that that sensation of falling in love means... You are making that person the center of your world for that moment. You know, you are focusing so hard on that person that it is an overwhelming rush of chemicals that are being exchanged between both of you. And this energy that you feel, you can't really create it anywhere else. Money can't buy it, you know? Well, it depends on the level of sex work that we're talking about, but, you know... In most cases of like genuine love, like you can't buy that. Not to say that genuine love doesn't exist outside of sex work, but that's a whole other discussion. Huh. Do you prefer blue skies or gray skies? Gray. Blue skies are great, but having them too much hurts my eyes. I have big eyes, and I have to wear sunglasses when I go outside. Gray skies are really nice, especially when you play tennis, which I used to do a lot in high school. I don't really do so much anymore, but I used to be a big tennis player, and I was happy when the weather was warm, the wind was light, and the skies were gray. Those conditions were perfect for playing tennis. What were your favorite shows as a child? I don't know. Star Trek. I liked Star Trek. All the different... various spin-offs of Star Trek were a lot of fun to watch when I was a kid. Pokemon. I got really into Pokemon. And like superhero shows, like little superhero cartoons. Honestly, I didn't watch a ton of TV when I was a kid because TV was limited to me. But when I did get a chance to watch it, you know, those cartoons, they were my jam. What is your favorite protein? It depends. if I'm cooking a meal for someone else and they could have meat, I'll almost certainly go down the road of like beef. I think one of the best dishes I could do for someone is a really amazing steak, like a ribeye steak that's reverse seared so that it's cooked perfect medium rare all along inside. If I'm cooking a meal for, you know, like a casual date and I don't want to spend $40 on steaks, I'll probably get a flank for $10 and then cut up, you know. So there's a lot of versatility there. If I'm, you know, trying to really impress someone, then tenderloin is the way to go. I actually have a story about tenderloin, which I will address later during the Costco chapter. But, you know, like, you know, chicken is, like, really versatile because, like, I could whip up chicken pretty easily. Same with fish. I could whip up a salmon pretty easily. And that's, you know, like a pretty simple, easy date night while also being really healthy. But I tend to gravitate towards unhealthy proteins when I want to spoil myself, which is almost all the time. So pork, I don't cook a ton of pork. I used to, but I've kind of laid off a bit because cooking really good pork the perfect way is difficult. And, you know, we're talking about pork that's really kind of barbecue-ish, crispy on the outside type of pork while having really succulent meat on the inside. And I think I'm going to swing this back to a question I completely neglected to answer before. Is there a food that you like that most other people don't? And there's a restaurant where I live that serves this pig's head. You can get this half pig's head. You have to reserve it like 5 days ahead of time. And when you finally go, like it's a dish that you can split between 2 to 4 people, depending on how hungry you are. I've actually done this on 2 different dates where we ordered the pig's head and we would just go to town on this pig. And, you know, yeah, you're eating the meat off of a pig's face, which a lot of people probably wouldn't be too thrilled about. But like the prize of that is like going after the cheek. And then when you finally get to the cheek, that's like the most tender, amazing meat that you could get from that animal. It's incredible. They also give you a shot of whiskey if you eat the eyeball. So I may have eaten the eyeball just to get that extra shot of whiskey. That place is also across the street from the biggest strip club in our city. So it's just, it's a fun, dangerous night for everyone involved. Good date nights. Good date nights. Are you interested in true crime? Yes and no. I don't pursue it, but you know, like, it depends. I had a friend who clued me into this podcast called Sword and Scale. And I just kept listening. Like, it's harrowing, you know, like, it's upsetting, but it's also a good way to kind of fill up the time when you're driving for hours and hours. They had this Jamestown episode that was just, you know, it had like recordings from the actual incident, and it was, you know, it was hard to listen. I think true crime has like a certain place and time, and in my daily routine, I don't normally carve out time for that, but if it comes up, I'll probably be engaged. What are your hard limits sexually? You know, I don't have many. Most of what I do, like, as long as it is consensual, as long as it's relatively safe, and the risks were made aware to all parties involved, and if it doesn't involve poop, I'm pretty much okay with it. No poop, no animals. Everyone has to be over legal age, and yeah, those are most of my hard limits. When it comes to things that I probably won't do and probably won't agree to, we're talking about like body modification, you know, really extreme stuff, because I'm not so much of a masochist. I do like pain. I don't like pain to the extent that, you know, the wires across my brain that if you pinch me with a needle, then I start ejaculating. Like, that doesn't happen. But I do know that that does happen with certain people. There's some like really extreme players out there that are, you know, really good friends, and they're really awesome at what they do. I probably won't do it with them. I mean, like, I've seen some really weird stuff. Really, really weird stuff. And there's a lot of things when it comes to, like, I've played with needles in the past, you know, like, I've had needles put in me, and that's generally fine for me, too. But when it comes to, like, long heal times, I'm not okay with that, you know. So I probably wouldn't do that. Do you like reality television? No, except for the Jersey Shore. I will watch every season of the Jersey Shore numerous times. I have watched every season of the Jersey Shore numerous times, and I'm rewatching every season of the Jersey Shore now to get ready for the Jersey Shore reunion. That's how much I like Jersey Shore. I don't like reality TV in general, but the Jersey Shore has a special place in my heart. Yeah, that might be because I grew up on the East Coast, and it just reminds me a lot of the people at home and, you know, my early 20s and how I was acting out in my early 20s. So, yeah, I'm glad I'm not talking to you in my early 20s because I was kind of a shitty person because I really liked the Jersey Shore. But I still like it. I think I've gotten better as a person while still maintaining my affinity for trash television. What do you think of pegging? I think pegging is awesome. Yeah, I think it's great in a social context, in a personal experimentation context. I think it feels great. I don't do it often because I have a sensitive butt, but when it does happen to me, I'm usually a fan of it, so long as I get to pick the size of what goes in my butt. I'm not like a big size person, you know, like I'm not like into big things. But if, you know, my date's going well with someone and she or they pull out like a strap-on harness, then I'd be like, yeah, we're not going to use that dildo. We're going to use that dildo over there that I have because it's of a reasonable size for my butt. likewise, the other way around, you know, like if I'm with someone who wants a little bit more extra sensation, you know, if we're having fun and we're playing and things are escalating like into like a freaky zone area, then yeah, totally. I will wear something that will enhance what I already have. I've been wanting to get one of those like strap-on straps, those dodo straps that go around your thigh. So someone could like ride your thigh and fuck your thigh, you know, with a dodo, perhaps like in between periods where I get hard. I think that would be a lot of fun. So I've been like thinking about getting one of those, and I would totally be okay with getting like a hollow dodo, to kind of put over my dick, because there are people out there, and honestly, like I don't judge people who prefer bigger size over another. You know, there's a lot of like trash talk of like, oh, you only like big dicks, you know, whatever. And then there's a lot of negativity around that. You know, there are some people who like it feels really good if something big's in them. And you know what? I don't judge them for that. That's pretty awesome. I have a friend who had a hysterectomy. And because of that, she has just, you know, been wanting really big things, like almost unnaturally big, like Bad Dragon levels of big. And you know what? That's totally cool. You know, like she should totally do her, and people should be comfortable with it. I think there's a lot of social insecurity surrounding stuff like that, and people just need to get over themselves. How would you like to describe how adults ask each other out on dates or for relationships versus how kids do it? I think with kids, there's a level of fucking awkwardness that makes everything worse. Mostly people don't know, like, you know, younger people don't know how to explain how they feel. And because of that, they'll dance around the issue when it comes to asking someone out, and vice versa. I think reciprocating could be difficult, too, if you don't feel confident in yourself. And I think adults, you know, a lot of those issues of confidence and insecurity, they're still there, but they're much smaller than when you were like a teenager who's going through changes that don't make any sense and you don't know how you look relative to the people around you. We're a bit more cooked, a little bit more finished in our growth. And because of that, we know who we are and how we stand. And that kind of raises your confidence a bit, you know, like that you are okay with who you are. And because of that, asking someone out isn't all that, it's not as much of a challenge. Do you like raw onions in your food? I do. It depends. But yeah, I do. I like having sliced raw onions in my burger, and I like having diced raw onions in like a burrito bowl. Those are probably the two instances where I think having a raw onion is pretty good, because the crispiness and the change in texture is a welcome addition to like a big kind of intense burger or a really mushy like burrito bowl that has like refried beans and beef in it, you know, like it's nice to have that crunch and kind of the extra punch of flavor to add variety and blend. It's all about blending. Can you curl your pinky without moving your ring finger? No. When sleeping next to a partner, do you prefer full-on cuddling, touching a little bit, or no touching at all? I have two partners who I've been dating for numerous years. One of them I like cuddling with. The other one I don't cuddle with that much, because they're different people who like different things. Myself, actually, I don't cuddle that much either. I like to abide by the two blanket rule. I run really warm. I tend to like heat up like a like a reactor, and I get really, really hot, and I just radiate all this heat when I go to bed. So I tend to sleep with a really thin blanket, and then I leave the comforter for, you know, the people who are sharing my bed with me. And that tends to work out pretty good. I'm pretty happy with that arrangement. But there are moments where, you know, just cuddling is really nice. And you know what? I'm totally down to cuddle so long as I don't get too hot. Do you shop at Costco? Yes, I have a Costco membership because I'm an adult. And as an adult, I like to buy large quantities of things to help save money. I was actually shopping at Costco the other day, and I was about to buy meat because I was, you know, kind of talking over with my partner, and we're just like, all right, yeah, I'll make steak tonight. So I walked back to the steak section, and there was a salesman who was peddling tenderloin, the most expensive cut of steak, 4 slices of filet mignon. And normally I never ever buy tenderloin because I know, like, I'm not gonna fucking buy $50 for, like, I'm not gonna spend $50 on these steaks, you know, like $60 even. Like, tenderloin, you know, it's like $100 typically if you want to buy like a good chunk of tenderloin. And the guy's just saying, hey, yeah, you know, we have major discounts right now. We're trying to get rid of them, you know, today only, you know, discounts. You have $10 off the list price and they're only $20 a pound. You'll never find that deal anywhere else. And I'm like, shit, that's a really good deal. And I'm looking at these steaks and I was like, oh, damn, I could get 4 filet mignons for $50. That's a lot of money, but you know what? That's a pretty damn good deal. So I bought it and then I ate it. I cooked it for me and my partner and I ate it and it was really good. And yeah, it's just so good. Oh my, it is the marshmallow of the steak. It's so tender. It's, oh, you can't get any better than that. I also buy puppy pads. I buy short rib steaks. I buy chicken thighs for chicken adobo. I buy leg of lamb for Thanksgiving, all at Costco. Oh my God. Costco has the best fucking bread. Their baguettes and their French breads. I don't know how they're always so fluffy and they're always so, like, warm and fluffy and soft, but they are. And just every day when I go there, I get them and I don't eat it fast enough. Really bumps me out. I don't go through the baguettes fast enough before they get stale. If you know of a way where I can mitigate that, then please let me know. Please send me a private message. That'd be wonderful. What is a sexy scenario that you fantasize about but literally cannot happen for you in real life? I don't know if I want to talk about this. Yeah, you know, I could probably answer this another time, because I don't really know. I don't know. Part of me wonders if I, like, part of me wonders what it would be like to go back in time. Because I do think about a lot of personal interactions I've had with people where, like, you know, people who I would either date or was interested in or, like, could have had a really good, like, I could have had really good sex with them, but I kind of fucked it up because of something I said or something I did or some way I acted. And I think now that I'm older, I would probably be able to handle those situations much better. I was really insecure when I was younger. And because of that insecurity, I didn't, you know, pursue things as correctly as I should have. And because of that, like, I feel like I missed out on a lot of opportunities when I was younger, especially when it came to the dating realm. And I think if there was a situation where I could go back in time and keep the knowledge I have in my head of how to properly interact with people and also, like, just be better at having sex. If I went back in time with the knowledge set that I kind of have now, then I think it would go much better for me. Probably not the type of sexy scenario you were thinking of, but, I mean, you know, I would happily talk about more of them in a private message, but probably not out in the open on this audio. what's a fashion trend of your youth you find absolutely atrocious now? Hair. Definitely that early 2000s hair. And when I was younger, I tried to, like, give myself this anime hair, you know? Like, you know, I was gelling my hair a certain way. I was growing out my bangs, and it really didn't look good. I was okay looking. But the hair I was trying to achieve was unrealistic, and I would probably just, if I could do it over again, I would. What is your favorite accent? Also, please describe the quality of voice that would really draw you in. Oh, hi, Mark. No, not the Eastern European accent. Although, no, I would really love, like, a Russian accent. I think British, Australian, and Russian accents are just really beautiful. And there's something so wonderfully sing-songy about a really good Italian accent. Please best describe the quality of voice that would really draw you in. There are some voices, this is a hard question to answer. I feel like there are some voices that do a better job at drawing in the listener and making things seem more hypnotic, that have better flow. Because there are some voices that do a really good job of, like, putting you in the space where, like, oh, this sounds like, you know, a really precocious person who's trying to get me into bed. You know, like, someone could do a really good impersonation of a voice, but when it comes to, like, a voice that draws you in, there are some people who have voices that are like molasses, and it's like a giant flood of molasses coming down the road and enveloping you in its thick, sugary cave. That doesn't make sense. But I think you know what I mean. Something smooth, something unique. Do you keep things formal between you and your listeners? Or do you flirt back sometimes? It depends on the comment that I get. Most comments, I just stay professional and I say thank you. But, you know, sometimes I'll get a message or two from people who are, like, overtly flirting. And, you know, there's no harm in flirting back, honestly. I think it's fun to flirt back sometimes. Do you mind receiving pet names from strangers? Not really. It depends on the pet name. If it's race-centric, because I'm Asian, I think that would be kind of weird. But if it's a normal pet name, and it's hard to describe normal, but if it's a pet name that's endearing and situational, because of something that I did, then yeah, totally. You know, I think nicknames are great. Everyone at Burning Man has a nickname. When I go to Burning Man, I have a nickname. What are some facial features a person can have that you find exceptionally striking? Big eyes. I really appreciate I have big eyes, and I think other people who have big eyes, you know, like, they large eyes, have this capacity of kind of drawing you in. And I've used my big eyes to that advantage at times. Like, I'll purposely make them a little bit bigger when I focus on looking at someone. And that sometimes works when it comes to, you know, getting their attention. Big eyes and heterochromia, having two different colored eyes. Those are exceptionally striking. Now, when I was in high school, a classmate of mine, who I kind of had a crush with, she kind of looked like Amanda Peet at the time. Amanda Peet's a celebrity who doesn't really do much anymore, but she was really hot. And she looked a lot like Amanda Peet and had heterochromia and was absolutely stunning. I hope she's doing good now. I haven't really thought about her for a while. Let's see. Can you count how many sexual partners you've had on your fingers? How about on all your fingers and toes? No. I'm not, like, trying to brag. But, you know, I'm in a community where people like to bang other people, and people like to play with other people. So I've had quite a few partners, and it's been good. I just like having that interaction. So I guess I'm a big slut. Have you spoken to your favorite poster on GWA already? I have quite a few favorite posters. And I might be a little bit biased here, but, you know, posters who have been kind of in my range of favorites have been ones who've agreed to collaborate with me on my video projects, and I've been pretty happy to work with them, and just discussing things with them and talking with them have been wonderful, wonderful experiences. Always Slightly Sleepy, Princess Ami Audios, JM Delphi, Eve's Garden, Fastmaster 77, Miu213, Cinder Kitty AU, and Ms. Orgasmo. They've all been really amazing when it comes to collaboration. When it comes to people who I mostly just admired but haven't really been able to reach out to, but like really, really admire, I think that top one is Pedal Baby. So yeah, here you go, Pedal Baby. This is the first time I'm speaking to my favorite poster who I haven't collaborated with on GWA. I hope you enjoyed the answers to this audio questionnaire. Thank you.